Thanks to the deep thinkers who helped produce this show, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also thanks to financial support from Rena Schulsky David and Sammy David. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists study the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Thinking About Thinking. And if you'd like to hear other episodes of Big Picture Science, you will find them on our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer listening to over-the-air radio because you just like thinking about the idea of filling space with electromagnetic radiation, well, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show. Oh, and do you have a comment, a criticism, a suggestion? Throw in some faint praise and then email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
But reason was the driving force of the Enlightenment. And, oh, blast, it's that woman with the empty peanut shells again.
We're your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say. We want you to be okay. Enroll, we say. Take care, people, for goodness sake.
Health insurance is now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, and preventive care. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn more.
And take care, people.
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
This is PAC 760, and this is WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded program do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. This is the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Marcia Kozlowski. She is a gifted professional numerologist and a choir member at her church, and she also plays the piano and the hammered dulcimer. So I just want to say thank you for being here, Marcia, and how are you?
I'm fine. I got here through, the weather has changed. It's a true November now.
Yes, it is. Well, like we were talking earlier, just before we started the show, it's Michigan and the weather always changes. So what can you do about that? I do want to mention the fact that, I've talked to Marcia before about numerology, but I was really surprised one day when I found out that she was part of the choir. I happened to visit her church for a birthday celebration, and it was quite a surprise to see her along with the choir come in and sing. And at first, I saw her and I'd like, who is that? And oh yeah, that's Marcia, so it was just interesting that it really is a small world and you never know who you're going to see wherever you might be.
Well, the thing with music is that numerology actually started as the music of the universe. That's what Pythagoras called it, the numbers were the symbols of vibrations and music. And so it's all sort of related, because music, when you're tuning an instrument, as any instrumentalist will tell you, you tune it to a certain vibration to get that A at the right, so that you're in harmony and you're all on the same note.
Right. Well, music, of course, does involve numbers as well, right?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So is that what attracts you to music?
I'm not sure. That's like which came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know. I had music first, but I started numerology so young that it's kind of all part of the same package.
Yeah, it's part of the growing up process with you?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you are a second generation numerologist?
Yes.
And who was the first generation?
My mother was. Well, okay. Actually both, my parents.
Really?
They used numerology in different ways. My dad used numerology to use as a handicapping the horse races.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first job was to figure out the horses.
Yeah, how did that work out?
I don't know. I was too young to go, so never shared his earnings with me. And then my mother did it as a study of human character and relationship, and that's really more where I ended up with it.
Mm-hmm. And now your daughters carry on in that same tradition, right?
Yes, they do. And even my grandchildren know how to figure out numbers now.
Really? So it's going to go on to a fourth generation here?
I think so.
Well, that's good. It's good to have that movement to keep it going, correct?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been doing numerology? You said, obviously, you started as a child. Do you remember approximately what age that was?
Oh, I was about 12 when I remember Dad bringing me the racing forms to figure out all the horses. And then when you become a teenager, it's figure out all the boys and decide if this one's worth my attention or not, or, you know, which ones I would think I might be compatible with based on our numbers.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that with every young man you were interested in?
I sure did.
Really? And how did that turn out? Did that
work out
well?
Pretty good. I've been married 46 years now.
Okay, so you picked the right guy, right? Or did he pick you? You don't know, right?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It all worked out, though.
It did.
But, I mean, did that ever get in the way? I mean, wasn't there perhaps a young man you really, really wanted to go out with, perhaps? And based on the charts, it just wasn't compatible and you had to, in essence, walk away from it?
No, because when you figure out somebody's numbers, you know what their strengths and their weaknesses are, and you can get along with them if you just understand that that's who they are and accept them as they are.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I ever had a really rough time was a fellow I dated that seemed to think that because I knew numerology, I was a witch, and I thought he was thinking I was going to hex him, and thought, okay, this is enough. You obviously don't get it.
Right. Well, that's not a good basis for a relationship.
No.
You know, but anyway, you know, you just have to move on for something like that. Now, when you do the charts, I'm assuming that when you first met your husband, you did his chart. Is that one of the first things you ask people is what their birth date might be?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's the start.
I ask if they have a middle name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I ask, in fact, sometimes I can get a couple numbers just from knowing their first name, what they're called, because you respond to that vibration. If you have a nickname at work, you know, you respond differently. If the name, like say, Bill versus William,
mm-hmm.
two different energies.
Right.
Or I worked at a police station, and all of the cops had nicknames. In fact, some of them I didn't even learn what their real name was until I did payroll, and then that's what they are.
Yeah.
But you respond differently, and you take on that role of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then even if they don't tell me the year of their birth, if they just tell me their month and day, I can tell you a little bit about what's going on in their life.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, though, that, you know, I'm sure that kind of gives you an edge that a lot of people don't even think of. Did you ever freak anybody out that you worked with by saying that, oh, you're this way or that way, or perhaps you have this kind of a trait or that trait?
I don't think I freaked people out because I used my knowledge with discretion. I didn't go around labeling them. I used it more as a tool to help either complement their strengths or help them be better at what they did. Like some people have a knack for working with numbers. So, you know, and then there's some people that are shy. You don't put them up at the window as a receptionist because they're introverts and they just would be unhappy there. And not only would they be unhappy, but the people coming in wouldn't have a warm reception. So I would, if I had any influence at all, I would put the people with the numbers that are extroverts at the window and the number people that want to just work on details back in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, can a person change though? I mean, I know the numbers are concrete. They can't change. But can a person perhaps touch upon some of their underlying numbers to improve themselves? Maybe they become more outgoing, anything like that?
Well, I think that you can heighten the expression. because numbers can be expressed negatively or positively. And, you know, too much of one energy is too much. Too much of a good thing. It's like, you know, having a box of chocolates. If you eat the whole thing at once, it's not good. So
well,
if you...
I don't know. It depends on the person, but I would do something like that. But oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But so if I guess I would characterize it as if you say if you were a six person, and a six can be a wonderfully nurturing parent and partner, but if they are too overboard, then they're smothering.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have a lot of energy, well, they need to exercise to expel that energy, because when it becomes too much, they internalize it, and it creates havoc in their digestive system. So it's understanding what is the highest expression of your energy.
Mm-hmm. But the numbers are the numbers, right? You can't really change the numbers once they're set based on birth date, et cetera.
Well, no, you can't change your birth date, but you can change a name you're called.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. If you could change the things that you're capable of, so that might reflect, maybe you were saying working with numbers, maybe you're not good at it, but maybe, like you said, change a name or adopt a nickname, whatever it might be, that might improve your work with numbers, anything like that?
It could, but I feel that the number that you are, your life number denoted from your birth date, your soul chose when you came into the world. You know, it's like when parents are expecting a baby, they're given a due date. Well, that due date may not be the day that baby comes, because the day that baby comes is the day it chose to arrive, and it comes on the day that the earth is vibrating to a certain frequency, and that's imprinted in their soul, and that gives them certain life lessons that they have chosen to learn in this lifetime. There, it gives them strengths, and it gives them weaknesses or things that they want to build. It's like building your soul muscles, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't put you in a box and say, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, because you have free will. And you can choose your expression. It's a choice that you make. Like, for instance, certain numbers like to have things very systematic. That's a four vibration. They have a certain, they like order, they like structure. Well, they can order and structure themselves right into a box. But if you want an engineer, you want somebody who can build structure and order. So that's a positive expression. It's neither, you know, it depends on how you use it.
Mm-hmm. What about a planned birth where the parents decide that they're going to induce labor on a certain day and that's it? In essence, is that still, I guess, according to the powers that be, is that still the correct date that baby is supposed to be born on?
I'm not sure about that. I know a couple people who had planned, you know, that the woman's got to have a C-section, so she's going to choose this day when the baby comes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so her best laid plans, you know, and I knew, I've heard of another lady, and I don't know how that worked out, but she was bound and determined to have her baby on a certain day, and very controlling, and I'm wondering about that child. Was the mother already so controlling that she can't allow the natural process to take place?
Right. Well, thinking about that, a person could line it up so that person, their child, would be born on a master number, to get that for their birth date. Have you ever heard of that happening?
Well, then you have to be careful what you wish for. You know, a master number doesn't mean you're born a master. It's a vibration you have to grow into, and you don't grow into it till the second half of your life.
Mm-hmm.
In the first half of your life, you have to grow into it so you can handle the intensity of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the time, you're just an ordinary person.
Right. But sometimes you can't really even grow into it during a lifetime. Does that happen?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Like an 11 remains a 2 their whole life, and that's it, right?
Well, they have a soul choice as to whether they want to handle that intensity or not. I had my sister had was born on 11/11, would have been her birthday yesterday, and she had a hard time being grounded because she had, and then the year was a 22, so she had all these master numbers, and it was very difficult to handle the intensity of it. She was extremely intuitive, extremely. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until the second half of her life that she could even cope with it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So a person has to mature to attain the extra powers or vibrations that a master number carries?
I believe so, because it's like the number 11 is a master number and it's intuitive. But if you don't understand that what you're seeing is intuitive when you're a child, or if you're born into a home that thinks that intuition is something scary, you know, you have to have some mentorship, I believe, to be able to handle that.
Mm-hmm. And real quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski, and she's a gifted professional numerologist. And, of course, we're talking about numerology right now. And we just started to touch upon master numbers. Perhaps you can tell us about all the master numbers.
Well, there's some disagreement about that. The 11 and 22 have long been considered master numbers. In this millennium, the 33 is also considered a master number. But there aren't very many of them. And the 33 is considered a master healer, which, with the state of our world right now, I think their time is coming, because there's such a need for healing in the world, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, especially with all of the soldiers and the refugees and the victims of war and all of that. So I think we're going to see more of that, and those individuals that have that 33 are going to grow into that, and the world's waiting for them. So there's going to be a synchronicity eventually for that to manifest. Mm-hmm. The 11s have long been recognized as master numbers, but they're sort of like the Cassandra of folklore of the Greek mythology. She was the oracle, but nobody believed her. You know, she would tell this is what's going to happen, but no one would accept her foretelling. So the secret to that is to be grounded and have a strong spiritual faith so that you're not absorbing all of the misery of the world. A lot of people that are 11-2s are so sensitive that if they don't have that spiritual protection, they absorb everything. You know, the shadow as well as the light.
Right. Well, I've also heard the number 44 is a master number. Do you agree with that or not?
I would agree on that, but I don't think we've seen too many of them. Mm-hmm. And that would be, you know, for 44, it's an 8. It's the ability to balance the plane, material and spiritual planes. Mm-hmm. And also, and build, because you're talking about the fours, which are the builders. And but I'm not sure that we have evolved yet to be able for them to manifest that mastership.
Mm-hmm. And just to get a sample of the number 33, wasn't Jesus 33-6?
And wasn't he considered the master healer?
Well, he was. So you're saying yes. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What about the other numbers? Can you break those down for us quickly? You know, 1 through 9, and what do those represent?
A one is a leader, a pioneer, a visionary. They are always ready to initiate and start something. They stand alone. The one is the first number, obviously, in the sequence. And they have great ideas, but they often are insecure. Take longer to mature. If you have a child who's a one, they don't mature quickly. but they have great ideas and they like to be respected for their mental number. The two is a relational number. They like to be in partnership and they're sensitive and they need peace and they deal with details and they collect things and they're considered a feminine number. The three is the manifester, and they're a joyful, free-spirited number, very talkative, very emotional, very outspoken, and sometimes they have no filter at all, and they just say what they think before they do anything. But they are the kind of number that doesn't seem to grow old because they're learning something their whole life. And when they're in positive expression, they're just a joy. And when they're in negative expression, they are sarcastic and nasty. The four is a solid builder, dependable, like structure. They're kind of an engineer type personality, reserved, cautious, want to know the boundaries, right, wrong. You find a lot of them are policemen and in the military. Mm-hmm. The five is your consummate salesman. They could sell, you know, a car on the ocean. I mean, they're just, they've got the gift of gab. They're very, they need variety. They want their freedom. They want their independence. If it's a child, they're constantly on the move. They need a lot of stimulation. And if you try to stick them in a chair and make them sit all day, you're going to have a frustrating time. But the five is a lot of fun. And they're party animals, and they like the five senses. They like to stimulate the five senses, food, drink, what have you. That's their danger, as well as their strength. The six is the sixth sense. It's a nurturer. It's a group animal. They're civic-minded. They're responsible. They like to have beauty around them. They're connected to the three and the nine in terms of emotional and feelings and expressiveness. And quite often you find them in service industries because they have such a sense of responsibility to their family and community. Now they can be meddling, you know, they're responsible, they want to know what you're doing all the time. That would be a negative expression of mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. The seven is an odd number. It's a thinking number. It's a very spiritual number. In negative expression, they're cynical and they have a hard time trusting anybody. They're the ones that in a party, they can only deal with that small talk for about 3 seconds. And then you find them just observing. They're tuned in, but you never know what they're thinking. The eight is a karmic number. It tries to balance the material plane of life with the spiritual. They're visionaries. They can look at the big plan. They've got good judgment. They delegate well. You find them, they have a knack for the business world and making loads of money. And they can lose a load of money, too, because they like to spend. And they're particular about what they spend their money on, but they're organizers. And the nine is encompassing of all of the other numbers, and they're connected to the three and six. Very emotional. Drama seems to find them. They're like the lightning rods of drama. They can be either very, very good or very, very bad. You know, they can be as good as Mother Teresa or as terrible as Hitler. But they have a compassion for the world, like Mother Teresa did. They are not materially oriented, but they're interested in health and in the mind and in the arts. And their lesson in life is to learn to forgive.
Mm-hmm. But that's like the completion of a cycle. Now, do people follow in succession? I mean, each life they come back, they're a one, the first life, a two, and they progress that way? Or would it possibly be where they might be a three, one lifetime, then a seven the next? Does that break up somehow?
That I don't know, since I haven't been given that information directly. But I can tell you, in your lifetime or our current lifetime that we're in, we go through 9-year cycles. And so every year we have what's called a personal year that's based on the day and month of your birth plus the current year. So you start with year one and go through year nine, and then you start over again. So certain years you will find yourself going in new directions, having new ideas, new energy. And then when you get to the 2 year, there's details and nurturing of those ideas to build upon the year before. And in the 3rd year, you meet people that help you with that. And you know, you're adding flourishes and creative things to that. In the 4th year of that cycle, you've got to stick to the basics, the meat and potatoes, and get your foundation set and persevere. And the 5th year is making a change, making adjustments. I know more people that quit jobs in a 5th year than anybody I know, any other year. And then the 6th year is an expansion year again. And quite often it's a relational year, and people either get married, or if it's a bad relation, they get divorced. And so that happens quite often in 6 years. And in 7 years, that's a reflection year. You're looking back on the last 6 years and you're thinking about where you are. It's you're looking at yourself, and you're not as social as you might normally be. And you're not supposed to be. You need more rest, and you need to just focus on your own growth and development. And the 8th year is when you've pushed to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish when you started out that 8 years. And in the 9 year, you wrap it up, you clean out the cupboards, you get rid of the stuff you don't need any longer, because you're making the space to start over again.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully you've learned something along the way, so you have a fresh slate when you get to the number one sequence again, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you said that applies to the world as well, just not each individual. I mean, it can encompass large bodies of people or whatever it might be, countries. Can you apply that type of numerology to just about any situation like that?
Well, yes. The world right now is moving into 2016, which is a 9 universal year. And so we're going to be watching what is ending and what has been the culmination of the last 8 years. And so if you look back at 2008, that was a 1 year universally. That's when Obama became president. That's when Fidel Castro stepped down. There was all kinds of things, if you look back at all of the events of that year, that initiated some evolutionary things for our world. And so it'll be coming to a culmination next year. So we're going to see some terrible things, because it's a 9 year and we're going to have to let go of, and we're going to see some good things. And it's going to stir human compassion, because we're going to feel the need of the 9 to be compassionate to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say a 9 year. I know how you add up the numbers, but perhaps you can explain it in order to get the 9. And in addition to just personal numbers, what numbers do you add together to reduce it to one number, so that you know you're an 8 or a 3 or a 5 or whatever it might be?
Okay. Well, to determine the number of a year, you take each number in the year and add it together. So for 2016, it'd be 2. Plus 0 is 2, plus 1 is 3, plus 6 is 9. So next year is a 9 universal year. So if you were going to determine your soul number, some numerologists call it life path number, is mostly those are the two terms, you would use the date of your birth. Like if you were born January 1st, be 1. January's first month plus 1 is 2, and then you would add it to that. Say the person, this is a baby, it's going to be born next year, January 1st. So 9 plus 2 is 11, and then you add the 1 plus 1 and you get 2. Mm-hmm. So that baby will be a 2, mm-hmm. life path, or as I would call it, the soul number when they mm-hmm. come in. That's the main core number around all of the other numbers that are considered main numbers. The other numbers have to do with the letters in your name. And every letter of the alphabet has its own energy, its own vibration. A is one, and you go through until you get to the nine, which is I. J is one, you go through again, and then S starts one, and Z ends with an eight vibration. So you put down, write your name down, and put the number of each one underneath, add all the way across. One, like Anne, would be 1 + 5 + 5, and that makes 11, and so Anne is a two vibration.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can rise to the 11 vibration, which is a master number.
Right.
But then again, that remains to be seen, right? Depends on the person. Does that also depend on the environment that they're raised in?
I think so. I think you can overcome your environment. You know, we have a choice, and some people do, and some people don't. And it just depends on the choices you make. And eventually you find that there's some synchronicity, because opportunity keeps coming to you, and it's how much you recognize it.
Yeah, right. And eventually it just hits you over the head, finally, and you say, well, I guess I should do this, or
exactly,
perhaps move there or whatever.
Well, that's correct. And sometimes, even though you're resistant to it, it's something that's meant for you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have a destiny, so mm-hmm. It just depends. But some young people think, well, it's passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
But some people reach their greatest success the last half of their life.
Mm-hmm. But you also said people have free will, so even though they're shown something, they could totally ignore it and remain on the path they are, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So it's just up to the individual.
It is.
What are some of the other numbers? You mentioned the soul number, the birth date, and the numbers in a person's name. I know you can add up the vowels and the consonants, and they all represent different numbers. Can you tell us about that?
The vowels are added up to be a soul urge. It's the same process, but it's strictly the vowels. And the soul urge is an energy you feel inside. Most people don't see, but it gives you some deep desires and deep heart. Some people call it a heart's desire number. It's something that you feel within you. It gives you a certain strength. And I find that on days that match that, there's more serendipity. I used to hope that my exams in college would happen on those days, because
yeah.
I always did better. But, and I would try to plan events on that, because it was something that instinctively you have that power to affect, move towards what you really desire. The vowels are your personality. That's the outer picture that people see. That's the persona you have. And it might be a mask that you wear, and it may not be who you truly are. So a lot of times people, he had such a great personality. Oh, she was just so cute. And then if you end up living with him, think, oh, my God, what didn't I see here?
Mm-hmm.
You were judging them on this one number that's their personality number. And that's all it is, and it's not the whole totality. I had one client that I did this numerology party, and she'd figured out all the guys she dated. And she said, I keep dating people that have a three personality. And she said, so what do you think of that? I said, well, that's why they've not worked out, because that's not who your numbers are. You're attracted by that three, but it's not a long-lasting relationship given what your numbers are. So that's a personality number. And then, the name you're called, that's a physical presence that people feel when they walk in the room. When they call you Mike, when you walk in the room, that's your physical presence. And so you respond to that. And then there's another number that I use in my core number that I call the attitude number. And that is determined from your month and day of birth. And people have attitude.
Yes, they
and,
do.
But that, again, it can be good or bad. And it's a protective coping device that people learn to get along in the world and when they were kids and to get their needs met. So some people, once you get past that attitude and you realize it's just an attitude and you see the nugget of goodness behind that, you think, wow, they're really nice. Or there's some people that have an attitude that, wow, they're really organized. Then if you go and see them in their home or whatever, they're about as organized as a whirlwind. You know, they're not organized. They just got an organized attitude. So they get hired on the basis of that attitude.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that's what they're presenting.
Yes, it's a projection of mm-hmm. something that they've learned or modeled from, you know, growing up. So it's quite fascinating to see how the numbers interact.
Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski. She's a gifted professional numerologist. And of course, once again, we're talking about numerology. One thing I wanted to ask you about is the letter Y. Sometimes the letter Y can be a consonant or a vowel. How do you determine that?
Again, it depends on what method of numerology you use. The Chaldean considers it always a vowel, but in Pythagorean, it's considered a vowel or a consonant, depending on what surrounds it. If your name was Glynis, G-L-Y, it's a vowel. But if it was next to an E, and I can't think of a name offhand that has that, but anyway,
honey, I don't know.
Yeah, honey. Okay, if it was honey, it would not be considered a vowel.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on where it's at and if it's surrounded by or is the vowel in that name. Like Yolanda, it would be a vowel because it starts it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Y is an interesting letter because it's, if you look at Y, it's a fork in the road, and the Y is a 7 vibration, and that is a reflective energy. So you, when you get to a year where a Y has an influence, you're at a fork in the road mentally, physically, and spiritually. You're mm-hmm. reflecting on something that you may want to change or a new direction or a new path.
Mm-hmm. Now, if a client comes to you, I'm sure you can advise them on perhaps what profession they might choose. And what if somebody comes to you and they really want to be a singer, and you look at their chart and you say that, you know what, it's not really in your chart here. Do you tell people that? I mean, even though they have their heart set on being something that perhaps what they are seeing, what you're seeing in the chart, is not really part of them.
There's a wide range of things that they can be in any given vibration. Like my number, my main number is an 8. Now, if somebody were to tell me, do you sing, you know, and they didn't know me, I would say, well, it's not something I'd pick for an 8, but I sing. Mm-hmm. I just don't do it as a career. Then I'd have to be out on the corner with a little... People have to feel sorry for me, but
well, if there's money involved, that's okay, right?
Yeah, right. But you know, I think that I would tell them how to best go about it, because if they wanted to be a singer, they could probably be a singer, but they might have a different way of learning to be a singer if you were a 3 than you would be an 8. Because some people have to learn by experience, some people have to learn. So it's how you can choose your path, but it's how you get there. My husband has numbers that have an engineering path. Mine are more artistic. His is straight, mine...
Curves. Yeah.
Several times. So, you know, I think that what's more important, I think, is... some people decide that they want to get married and they're in a 9 year. I would tell them, don't get married. Not this year. You are not going to, it's not going to it's going to be hard to make it last. Because mm-hmm. if when you're in a 9 year, it's a lesson learning year, and it's you wait till you know, don't get married in a 9 year, if you can help it. It's not a good year for that. If you're getting married in a 6 year, oh my gosh, it'll be great. That you know that wedding in that year is it nurtures love.
Right.
So that to me is where I look at when I'm doing a chart. You know, because what they're asking me, they have already made a choice. They want to be a singer. But timing, which path, what do you have that's going to help you get there in the most advantageous way using your talents and using your numbers? Some people will have problems because they might, maybe they're an 8 life path soul number. And all of their other numbers are low numbers. Well, they've got to persevere because they get discouraged. And it just as soon stop and, you know, twiddle their thumbs with little details. And they have to just keep pushing themselves and find support for that. If they're a number 2, but they're surrounded by all large numbers like 7, 8, 9, no matter how good they do, they're never going to be satisfied. Because they're reaching for the stars and they're missing the roses right in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the relationship that you just mentioned, you know, not to get married in a 9 year, nobody wants to wait around to, you know, the next 6. I mean, is one okay?
No, one's okay. 2's better.
Okay. But I mean, but one, sometimes people can't wait. Maybe, you know, the husband's joining the military and he's going to be, you know, sent overseas or whatever. And a 9 year, that's it. They're going to get married regardless. Do you still advise people not to do that?
Well, then I would have them pick a day that's, you know, that a universal day that's a 6 or a 2 or, you know, a day that's filled with love.
Mm-hmm. Something that's more compatible to a marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do with people that come to you and, again, they want to be something that, according to their chart, they're not? Do you try to dissuade people? Or, again, what you were saying earlier, you try to work with them and try to maybe achieve their goals in a more roundabout way?
Most of the time, I find people going towards what they should be going. The obstacles aren't usually them. The obstacles are environmental, or they just, you need somebody to validate that, yeah, you know what, that is good, but here's how you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because their parents may think they should do the family business, and maybe that's not what they want to do, and it's really not where their aptitude is, their talent, their, you know, passion.
Mm-hmm. Have you surprised people when you look at their chart and, you know, I guess make suggestions, and perhaps you might want to, I don't know, if you're a number 4, maybe becoming a, you know, draftsperson or an architect if you're a 4
what
or an 8?
What they're surprised about is that I would know that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that about me? You can tell that about me? Really?
Are they surprised at all?
Well, they're not surprised. They're surprised that somebody could see that.
Mm-hmm.
That they, you know, well, you know, I always wanted to do that. But, you know, they told me I couldn't, or I've always loved that. You know, sometimes I have people that tell me, no, I'm not at all creative. I said, yeah, you are, but you haven't discovered what it is. That is probably the most in denial response I get. When I tell somebody that, you know, you have some creative ability here that you're not using. Oh, I don't. I said, yes, you do. I said, you start thinking about what it is, because there's something here that you are supposed to be creative about.
Mm-hmm. And when you tell people that and perhaps start working with them a little bit, do they start to come around and realize that you were correct, that they should follow a certain paths that would make them happier in life? Maybe it's something that would just be a hobby or something, but it's something that touches their soul and that it is creative or whatever it might be.
Well, yeah, I think so. That's why I have my customers come back every other year for forecasts. because it's like, okay, what am I supposed to focus on now? Mm-hmm. And they every month they look at something. Oh, you know, like I had one. I said, well, I think you're going to move this year. No, we're not moving. We're staying right here. I said, okay, you know, fine. So I came by. She says, my God, we're getting transferred to China.
Well, that's a big move right there.
And I said, oh, well, okay. And she said, how did you know that? I said, well, your energy is telling me this. I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the details. I certainly wouldn't say you're moving to China.
Right.
But there was a move involved, and mm-hmm. and there was.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody really, really denies something, do you just let it go and say, well, okay, that's up to you? You don't try to force people to do something?
I do not. Mm-hmm. Because they do have free will. And they can choose not to do that. And, you know, nothing is written in stone. It's the energy flows. And it flows and it ebbs and it, you know, and it peaks. And, I mean, you can talk to anybody and they will tell you some they've had better years than other years. Because it ebbs and flows. It's part of a natural pattern of energy.
Mm-hmm. And something we were just kind of discussing before we started the show was the fact that you worked at one particular job. I don't know which one it was, but you said you kind of helped out the environment by matching people with the proper job that might open up. And as a result, the whole office or the whole business was a better place to work in. Did that make you feel really special?
Well, I always figured out everybody's numbers where I worked. Every boss that I ever worked for, I figured out their numbers because I needed to find out what their strengths and weaknesses were. I always had a supportive role in every job I had. And so by finding out where they were strong, where they were weak, I could match my strengths and talents to make them more effective. And I also found myself in a position of influence, not authority. And so if there was a project or a specific assignment that certain people whose numbers matched the skill set needed to accomplish that, I would suggest they be given that assignment or given that position. So that they could shine, that their energies would be used to their potential, and they'd feel better about what they did. It's a win-win situation. And so that, and I was just subtle about it. Nobody knew that I did it with numerology, but that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I had the person that worked with me most closely, she had twos and fours, and she was my person for all the details. Everything was good, specific. Other people found her aggravating because she wouldn't, you know, let the paper go till every T was crossed, every dot was on the I. And you know, but I valued that. That was mm-hmm. a skill set that I didn't have time for. So she was happy as a clam, and we got wonderful work out of her. And then there was another lady who her boss thought she was just stupid. She can't learn a thing. She's useless. I don't even know why I put up with her. So yes, she can learn, but you're not using the right method. Mm-hmm. I said, would you let me work with her? I will make sure she learns, and because I know how she learns. And she learned what she needed to learn to do her job. Mm-hmm. And she was so happy. And he was no longer aggravated, and harmony prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I used numerology in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody has a different way of learning what works best for them. Does that reflect on their number charts as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I've done all my grandchildren. I can tell you which one and how they learn, every single one of them, and what motivates them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a one learns differently than a two. And
right.
And a two, you need to be slow and patient and take one thing and then another, not dump it all on them at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the five's got to have a variety and has to be able to get up and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
You know, so everybody, I mean, children do, and even adults. There's mm-hmm. some people, I play hammered dulcimer. There's some hammered dulcimer players that just need to to learn by themselves. They're self-taught, and they're wonderful players. There's others that need the structure of the music with a teacher that goes through it like you would in a music class. Mm-hmm. So it's difference in numbers, how they learn.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that would help out in a classroom to determine some of the numbers of the children so they could learn better?
I think so, but I don't think that the institution of learning would ever allow that.
Right. That's opening up a whole can of worms because, obviously, depending on the age and stuff, how are you going to, you know, separate kids that learn, you know, one way as opposed to another way? That
well,
be
it's
a
challenge
mess.
For teachers. Right. I mean, they're, you know, I give teachers wonderful credit because they seem to instinctually provide as much variety as they can, and many of them are intuitive as to how children learn.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they can just pick up on that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski. She's a gifted professional numerologist. Now, when you work with people, have you ever entered into a situation where people totally resist whatever you have to say? They don't accept it somehow, and perhaps they fight with you about it? Maybe not fight, but they just are not accepting of whatever you might tell them?
They wouldn't come to me if they weren't looking mm-hmm. for some assistance. And so if they're coming to me, they're already open to what I might tell them. So I really haven't had too much resistance, although I did do a party once, and this lady, there's a fear. I think it's a fear. I don't know what of exactly, but she wanted to hear me. But she didn't want me to do her numbers. Fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not here to force it on you. It's not a religion.
Right. No. Well, I think people are afraid because of what they might find out. It might not really set with their preconceived ideas of themselves or something like that. Do you think that might be the case?
You know, I don't know. I have a client that wanted me to do a relationship analysis, and that's always interesting. And I think he wanted me to tell him what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I couldn't do that. You know, I said, this is what it is. I don't have a preconceived conclusion. It's whatever the numbers tell me.
Right.
This is this number, this is this number, this is where they mesh or they don't mesh. And he wanted me to change my message, and it's not my message, it's the energy right. and the numbers. So was he upset or about accepted? I don't know that he got the message because he had a preconceived conclusion that he wanted the numbers to show, and I don't know that they showed that.
Mm-hmm. But the numbers never lie, right?
I don't think so. I've mm-hmm. never found them to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Never found them to lie.
Right. Well, now, you said you did all the numbers with, you know, your family, I know your daughters do this as well. Were you ever surprised at some of the things you found out about them along the way?
Yes, because I don't know if I found it surprising, but as they were going to name their children with numerology in mind, and mm-hmm. of course kids come when they come, you
right,
know, so
right.
they,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you have another parent who has ideas about what they want to name their child.
Mm-hmm.
So how the children came out is quite interesting because they're each different combinations of numbers, and how they share their some of this parent and some of this parent in numbers. So there's family patterns in numbers as I've done generations, and I've done some that, you know, I've done parents on down the line from my ancestors down to my grandchildren. And so the family patterns that come through numbers is quite intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm. Did you try to do that with your own children, try to arrange the names?
Well, I did. I had, you know, some people don't name their kids till they see them, and then they it's an intuitive approach. And we did. We named our kids with certain numbers, and it's interesting to me how they have turned out to be what those numbers signify. Mm-hmm. And but they had the same parents. They right. don't have the same numbers.
Right.
You know, the two girls are, don't have the same numbers, but they had the same parents. And, you know, you think you raised them the same way, but they are definitely their own numbers.
Right. So you think that even though kids are raised in the same household, just based on the numbers, that's why sometimes they're just totally opposite of each other, because the numbers are the numbers.
Oh, yeah. And some families, I mean, I've done families, whole families. And so there'll be all this commonality of numbers. And then there's one odd one.
Yeah, the black sheep the or the rebel
sheep,
or whatever. Yeah.
You know, and I'll say, this one's different. And they said, how did you know that? I said, well, look, here are all your numbers, and there's this similarity. But he doesn't have that, or she, whichever mm-hmm. the case may be.
Right.
This is the different one.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is in that family to be a teacher.
Really? It's supposed to reflect what other people are supposed to learn about life in general?
No, it's about that energy
okay.
that that family doesn't have. And they're bringing into the family to teach them about, you know, somebody who's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And your husband was okay with that, though? I mean, picking the names ahead of time and, I mean, with the numerology thing?
Well, you know, that came with the package. So if he didn't like it, then he wouldn't have married me.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I mean, you know, he didn't resist or complain, right?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Well, he wasn't afraid of it, which was, I think, a little surprising to me, but... Mm-hmm. No, it didn't.
Well, you said he's the engineer. He's the practical type person that may not go for this kind of stuff, right?
No, but really, he's intuitive, and he has numbers that are, when he lets himself have that intuitive, you know, side of him, he does have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was encouraged growing up.
Right. Well, again, you kind of opened up his world, did you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Through numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about your children? Do they thank you for all the work that you've done with the numerology and teaching them and working with them in that respect?
Oh, heavens, yes. In fact, they'll call me and say, Mom, I've got somebody at work. I want you to figure out the numbers. They get the numbers for their people to work, to know how to respond to them versus react.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't get this person. Why are they acting this way? Well, this is why they're acting this way, because this is what their numbers are and blah, blah, blah. And this is why you have a problem with them, because, you know, maybe your numbers are even and they're all odd numbers. And so there's a different approach. So don't take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and vice versa, or whatever. And so, yeah, they use it all the time. I expect calls and from them, and they'll say, well, let's talk about this, or let's talk about that one, whatever. So, yeah, they use it as a tool in their lives
mm-hmm.
and with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year for Christmas, I do a family energy portrait. And
okay.
it's...
I mean, that sounds like a lot of work, but I mean, I'm sure it's interesting.
Well, it's a portrait, and it's a picture portrait of everybody's core group of numbers, what personal year they're in, what pinnacle, what challenge, what, you know, all the pertinent information for next year. And so if somebody has a little crisis, I look then to see what's going on and tap into the energy they can use to get them through that situation.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain cycles or certain numbers where it might lend to more traumatic events, something like that, or happier times, depending on what the numbers are?
Oh, yeah, I think so. There's some periods that it's just work, work, and more work. In fact, my one daughter, who was born April 4th, work, work, more work. She says, Mom, I don't like those numbers. And I says, hey, your soul chose it. Too bad.
Yeah, right. Just deal with it, right?
Deal with it.
Okay. Now, how can people get a hold of you if they're interested in getting a reading or whatever, contacting you somehow?
The best way to get a hold of me is to email me. at numbers, N-U-M-B-E-R-S, living, L-I-V-I-N-G, at hotmail.com. I do have a website. They can look it up, and it's numbers for living as well. But the quickest way to reach me is to just to email me, and then, you know, we can go from there.
Mm-hmm. Why, you use the number four. Does that have a significance for you at all, or you just use it because it's kind of cute with numerology and takes away the word four?
Takes away the word four, the word four, but it also is a foundational number.
Okay.
And so if you're going to use numerology in your life, we can provide the foundation for that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Marcia, very much. I appreciate you being here. It was a great interview. Thank you very much. I would just like to thank my guest for this month, Marcia Kozlowski, a gifted numerologist. Very interesting talking to her. I know I've been into numerology for many years. I used to know a little bit more than I do, but still, I think that's a very fascinating subject. So I'm glad that she was able to do the show and provide some insight about the numbers. I really do think they're interesting. And again, like we were saying in the program, numbers don't lie, and you know where you stand with the numbers. I also want to thank my producer for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Brandon McKay. He always helps me out a great deal, and I do appreciate that. So be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the third Tuesday of next month. In the meantime, I just want to thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls, you're at the malt shop here with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s again this week. We're going where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing, so hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop. And here we are, back in the 50s.